A scavenger hunt. What is like a scavenger hunt? I think we've all heard of scavenger hunts, but what really is a scavenger hunt? Well, a scavenger hunt invites participants to follow clues and to find clues that help solve a mystery or a puzzle. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Paul says, there we are, to the church at Ephesus, Paul says in chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, he says, in reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs. And I got to say, Gentiles, that's you and I, by the way, if you didn't realize that. Okay? That's us. You know, we are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So Paul says that there were prophets and there was, we could say, clues given in history past, but it was a mystery. But now that mystery has been revealed in Christ Jesus. About 1,000 years earlier, God guided Daniel as Daniel was approached in reference to a dream that would tell about the end, a dream that would tell about Jesus coming. Daniel replied in reference to a request to interpret a dream. Daniel said, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come, your dream and visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in bed." So there's mystery that's being revealed. We have the privilege to be standing on the other side of that mystery, and we look back. But there's also a future mystery. In our devotional guide, we will look at over 20 scriptures, prophetic scriptures. And so if you've picked one up, you've already realized that we're going through the Old Testament and we're looking at these prophetic scriptures. If you haven't picked one up, I encourage you to do it. It's also on the website, so you can follow through on the website. We're on a scavenger hunt is what we are this Christmas season. We're searching through the Bible for clues that tell us about that greatest mystery, God taking on human flesh, becoming a human being, and then dying on the cross for our sins, for your sins, for my sins, paying the total price, paid in full, nothing left to be paid, paid in full. And we can't pay that price. It doesn't matter what we try to do. We are unable to. But Christ paid that price for us. And so that's what we're going to see and discover. I've divided the clues in over this Christmas season into kind of like four seasons. We could get more theological in this whole area and call it covenants, but I'm not going to do that. We're just going to follow through. The first week, we're going to look at clues that were given from the very beginning, from Genesis, from right in the garden, and we're going to look at that in a moment's time, all the way to Abraham. And we could say these clues form the Abrahamic covenant or lead to the Abrahamic covenant. This coming week, that's where we are now. You're going to be reading clues that God gave to Abraham's descendants, the patriarchs, as we call them in the Bible, all the way to Moses, to the formation of the nation Israel. And these clues come together, and there's another covenant, the Mosaic covenant. And so that's another covenant that God makes. And then the following week, we're going to look at the clues that God gave to David, to King David, and to his descendants in that area of kingship. And that forms, we could say, the Davidic covenant. And then the final week, we're going to look at the clues that are given to the prophets. And these lead us to the new covenant. This morning, we're going to come around the table here. And this table speaks of the new covenant. We are a part of the new covenant. So this morning, as we look at the scripture passages and that, and as we participate while in communion and then baptism, we realize that this is all part of that new covenant. These symbolize that which Christ has done for us. I think back of in our scriptures, as our scriptures tell us, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room. He took the cup and he took the bread. He broke the bread first and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body which is for you." And then in like manner, Jesus took the cup. And he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is the new covenant. Jesus says that every time we eat the bread and drink the cup, we remember that which Jesus did, the formation of that covenant, that which God did for us. And as we partake in communion, we're declaring the death and resurrection of Jesus. We're identifying with that. And that's why we're given certain instructions as to how we're to partake of this table, that we're not supposed to partake of it in an unworthy manner. An unworthy manner means that where we do not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, where we're not part of the family of God. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then I would encourage you to do that this morning and then participate later in the service in communion. If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then your sins are forgiven and you're invited to participate in this table. Sometimes, though, we don't keep our accounts short enough in the area of sin. And so sometimes, like, you know, it's Sunday morning. I was there. Our kids are growing up now, but you know, I hear about grandkids. Our grandkids are perfect. This wouldn't happen. But you know, it's tough sometimes Sunday morning, isn't it? Right? Somehow they can't find their shoes. You know? And they can't find this and they can't find that. And then you finally get into the car and, you know, your sanctification is almost lost, right? Your voice level kind of rose a little bit, you know, and everything else like that. And then you pull into the church parking lot and you're barking out, oh no, you wouldn't do that, those last instructions. And then you know you're at church, so everything changes, right? And you walk out of the car, this wonderful family, and you enter the church. So sometimes, you know, those things happen. And that's why, again, in the scriptures, we're told to stop and examine ourselves. And I want us to do that this morning. I want us to do that right now.